We're going to open up our teaching portion this morning by looking at a part of a series on the Christian family. And we're going to focus in on the youngest members of that family this morning. And we're going to talk primarily to the children in the audience, and that's children from age 0 to age 18. If you're in your parents' house or under their authority, you should be paying attention and listening to the things from the scriptures this morning. Now, obviously, there's principles in here that apply to all of us, and there's principles in here that we're going to be talking about with children that parents need to be paying attention to as well. So certainly this sermon is for everyone, but we want to focus in on our youngest members. And do want to recognize, though, that the Christian family is important, and it's important that we build everything in our families on God and on His Word. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And I certainly believe that. I believe the most successful families are those that are founded upon God and founded upon the Word of God and apply those principles. And so we're going to talk about growing up in Christ, what it means as a young person, as a kid in the church. What does God expect from you? And so if you're in the crowd this morning and you're 4 years old, or you're 7 years old, or you're 12 years old, or you're 16 years old, I want to ask that you pay attention and listen as we go through this study about growing up in Christ. And the first thing I want you to know as a child in the kingdom of God this morning is that you are special and that God has made you special. David described it this way in Psalm 139:14. He says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." David said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Did you know that each and every single one of you were created and molded and made by God for a special purpose? And that purpose is not so that you can grow up and be an NBA basketball player or a great pop singer or anything like that. That's not the purpose God created you for. The purpose that God created you for was that every day from now until the end of your days that you wake up, you love God, you're kind to people, you love others, and you're the kind of person that God has asked you and created you to be, the kind of person that praises Him, the kind of person that worships Him, that you love God each and every day that you wake up. That's the purpose that God has created you for, that you would praise Him and worship Him. And I want you to know this morning that you are special and you have been created special. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not special, that you're not worth anything, because God has given you worth. God has given you value. God has made you something special and for a special purpose. And I want you to know that this morning. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to know that God wants you to seek Him. And we see that Jesus, even in the New Testament, He wanted the little children to come up to Him. And He told His disciples not to refuse them, but to let them come. We see a story in Matthew 19 and verse 13 where it says, "Then were there brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus Christ, as He was here in this earth, He wanted kids to come up to Him. He wanted to be able to speak to kids and to be able to put His hands on them and bless them and pray for them and encourage them. Jesus and God alike want you to seek Him. And it doesn't matter how old you are. God wants you to seek Him. He wants you to want to have a relationship with God. He wants you to ask the questions, "What does God want from me?" He wants you to ask the questions, "How can I serve God at 8 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old?" God wants you to ask those questions. Jesus wanted the kids to come up to Him, and He forbid His disciples from rebuking them or telling them they couldn't come. God wants you to seek Him. God gave you parents to help you. As you grow up in this life, God didn't leave it up to just you to figure out everything about life and how to go about life and how to be successful in life and how to seek God and how to be a servant of God. God gave you people in your life to help you. They're called your parents. Now, this is the assumption. This is the assumption we're making this morning, and that is that you being here this morning have parents that care about doing what God wants for them to do. Now, maybe you're here this morning and your parents don't. Maybe you're here and it's your grandparents that are Christians and it's your grandparents that care about church. Then you need to look to your grandparents for those things, for what does God want for me. But the assumption we're making is that you have at least one parent or parents that want to do what God wants them to do. And so you need to know that God has given you Christian, godly parents in your life to help you to grow up. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a scripture, of course, we use a lot of times in parenting studies, that parents should train up a child. But I want you to recognize, as a kid, your parents have the responsibility to teach you and to train you. And so as a kid, you can't sit there and go, oh, I've got it all figured out. I don't need any help. I don't need any training. I don't need to be taught. God has told your parents to train you and to teach you. And so you need to know that God has given them that purpose, and that purpose is to help you. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You, as a child growing up in a Christian home, you ought to have parents that are nurturing you and admonishing you in the Lord and teaching you scripture. But you have the responsibility to say, hey, as a kid, as a child, what is it that God wants from me? He wants me to grow up this way. He wants me to grow up seeking the Lord. He doesn't want me growing up just doing whatever things that I want to do or what my friends at school think is okay. God wants me to grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So if you've got parents or grandparents or whoever that is that can be a good influence and help you to grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you need to go seek them and ask them and say, can you help me? Because I want to be who God wants me to be. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. This brings us to a discussion about discipline. Discipline's not fun. Now, I remember as a kid, you know, my dad had a few phrases that varied from time to time, but would go something along the lines of, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I always thought, no, it does not. That is just something parents say. That's ridiculous. I mean, I'm the one, you know, that's not true. But I want you to know, it's not fun for your parents to discipline you. It's not fun for your parents to have to get on to you. That's not a fun part of the job. In fact, really, your parents wish that they never had to do that. But the reality is they know that in order for you to grow up and be the kind of adults that God wants you to be, they have to help you to be the kind of kids that God wants you to be. Sometimes that means getting on to you. That means disciplining you. That means using the rod. That's what God tells parents to do. Now, obviously, there's situations where if a parent does seem to enjoy that too much, that's a problem. But good, godly Christian parents don't enjoy that part of it, but they do it because they know it's necessary. They want you to grow up and to be who you need to be. And so as a kid this morning, I want to ask you to remember that. When your parents are getting on to you, when your parents are disciplining you, don't get angry, don't get mad, don't just remember they're doing it because they want you to grow up and be who God wants you to be. And if you'll try to remember that, then the next time when you're thinking about doing whatever that thing was that they got you in trouble for, you'll remember not only that I don't want to get in trouble for it, but that's not what God wants for me. And if you can keep that in your mind, that I want to be a kid for God, I want to do what God wants me to do, then you'll help your parents a ton. And your parents will love you for that, that they don't have to constantly go back to the rod because you want to be a good person. And that's what God wants, is for you to want to be a good person. So what is God asking of you as a child in the church? First and foremost, you probably know Ephesians 6, verse 1. If you were raised in a Christian household, at some point by the age of 5 or 7 or 9 or somewhere in there, you knew Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents love to have their children memorize this verse because it's very applicable, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I want you to know that's what God's instruction to you is. As someone that is in your parents' house, as a kid in their house, God is telling you this. This isn't a scripture to the parents. This is a scripture to you. God is speaking directly to you as a 6-year-old, as a 10-year-old, as a 14-year-old. God is asking you to do this, to obey your parents. When your parents tell you to do something or ask you to do something, you ought to be doing it because you love them and you love God and you want to help because you have a good heart and you know that God wants you to obey. What does obey mean? Means do what they told you to do. Whatever that is, obey them. God has asked that of you. Obey your Christian parents. Verse 2, he says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's not only important to God that you obey. You know, I remember as a kid, there were lots of times where I obeyed my dad when he told me to do something, but I didn't do much of this part. I didn't do much of the honoring. I obeyed, but I was grumbling and complaining behind his back the whole time, and my mind wasn't where it needed to be, and I was saying all sorts of stuff in my mind that I shouldn't have been saying, even if I never voiced it. Not just about obeying. God wants you to not only do what your parents say, but he wants you to honor them. What does honor mean? In the Greek, in the New Testament, that word honor means to prize or to revere. To prize. Have you ever thought about your parents as being a prize? Like you have won a prize by having your parents. You know, most of the time as kids, right, we think they don't seem like much of a prize. They seem like they're hindering me some, right? But they're a prize. God says they're a prize. You should prize them and revere them. In the Hebrew, it means to make weighty, to make weighty. And it has an allusion to this concept of a scale. Have you ever seen one of these? These are gold coins on these scales, right? If I were to ask you this morning and say, you could pick whichever side you want, and I'll give you the gold coins, everyone in here would pick the right side, right? Why? Because it's lower. Because it has more gold coins on it. It's weightier. It's better. It has more weight on it. It's better. We would pick that. Now I want you to think about your parents this way. Your parents are the weightier side of the scale. If you're comparing what your friends say and what your parents ought to have more weight. If your friends tell you to do something or your parents tell you to do something, your parents ought to have more weight. You ought to listen and respect your parents more than anybody else. God has given them to you to help you to be who you need to be. Your parents need to be weighty. Now, I wouldn't go home and say, Mom, you're weighty. That may get you in trouble. They may get the wrong idea. But you need to think of them as a prize, as important, as something I put a lot of weight on. And then in verse 3, God even gives us the reason why we ought to honor our parents and put weight on what they say. He says that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I think this is like an actual true statement about just, you know, being able to live a long and healthy life. I mean, in reality, right? As a young child, as a parent, when my kids are young and they're trying to run out into the street, what do I do as a parent? I stop them, right? If my young one-year-old is trying to touch the hot oven, what am I going to do? Am I going to just let him touch it? What if he tries to go touch it again? What if he's a slow learner? Do I intervene? Do I do something? Do I parent? Part of being a parent is protecting and teaching, right? So that you can live a long life. If I didn't care about my kids, I'd let them go do whatever, and they'd probably suffer some sort of tragic death because I wasn't paying attention or caring about them. Or they'd get into some sort of trouble, some sort of consequences in life. This is a very real, realistic statement. Your parents are trying to help you live and survive and be successful in life. If you honor them, you listen to what they say, you consider them and their word and their instruction to you more important than anybody else, you can accomplish that. And when they come to you and they say, hey, you know, that's probably not a good decision. For this reason and that reason, let's think about it. Let's consider why this may be good or bad. Don't have an attitude and say, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Listen to them. They're trying to help you to be successful so that you can live a long, productive, successful life. God asks you to listen to your parents. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. When your parents come to you and they talk to you about something, listen to them. It's not just about saying, okay, what did they tell me to do? Okay, I'll go obey it. Oh, and I won't grumble and complain because I want to show them honor. Listen to them. Listen to really what they have to say and see if you can learn something from it and grow from it. Listen to the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of thy mother. God is asking you also to be a good example. God spoke through Paul to the young evangelist Timothy, and Timothy was a young man. We don't know exactly how old he was at this point, but he was young. Paul references his youth in this passage. And Paul is telling Timothy, as a young person in the church, here are some of the things that you ought to be modeling for other Christians. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And if you're a young person in the crowd this morning, I want you to pay attention to these six things that Paul lists. Are you being who you need to be? Are you being an example to other people in word? What does that mean? That means in the things that you say. Are you being kind to people and not rude and hateful? Are you being respectful to people and not giving them attitude? Are you being honest with your words and not telling lies? All of these things have to do with the in-word part of this. We as young people and as a young person in the church today, you need to be trying to be a good example for the other young people and the old people. But for the other young people, if you have younger siblings, you know what those younger siblings are doing? They're listening to everything that you say. They're watching everything that you do. I have three older siblings that I got the advantage of being able to see and watch. It didn't help me much. I still got in lots of trouble. I should have taken it more to heart of seeing what they went through before I got there. However, I was a little stubborn. But you know what my younger siblings were doing as well? They were looking up to me and to my other older siblings. And it's a continual pattern. You're being watched. You're being followed. Whether you mean to set an example or not, you are. So what kind of example is it? In word, are you saying the right kind of things? In conversation, what does that mean? That means your behavior, your actions, the things that you do, the people that you hang around, the respect that you show, the good deeds that you do. When you hold the door open for somebody, that's a great thing. It's a nice thing. When you let the door slam in somebody's face, that's not so nice. In your behavior, in your manner of living, in your conversation, what kind of a person are you? Are you the kind of person God wants you to be? What about in charity? Charity is love. Do you love your parents? Do you show them that you love them? Yeah, I love my parents. I know God gave them to me. They're a prize. They're weighty. Do you love them? Do you show them that love? Do you give them a hug and just say thank you for being my mom? Thank you for teaching me and helping me. You know, that would go a long way. That would mean a whole lot. Do you love? Do you love other people too? Are you good-hearted and kind to people? What about in spirit? It really has to do with our attitude, the spirit in which we approach life. Are you a whiner? When your mom or dad tells you to do something, do you whine and complain about it? You shouldn't. God doesn't want you to whine and complain about it. God wants you to have a good attitude. I heard the word attitude more than probably any other word from my dad growing up. I mean, I got that all the time. Like, I'm doing what you told me to do. Yes, but your attitude, son. Over and over. But it's true. God wants our attitude to be right. He wants our heart to be right. And that's something that we have to work on, not just obeying, but having a good attitude. In faith, do you like coming to church? Do you like it when your mom or dad gets a Bible out and you sit down and you study the Bible at home, or they read a chapter for you? Do you like that? Do you enjoy that? Do you listen? Do you pay attention? Are you trying to grow in your faith? Are you trying to be a good Christian young person? Or are you just going? Make sure that you're being the example that you need to be in faith. And finally, in purity. In being the kind of person in every situation that you need to be. In maintaining that purity and that holiness and that righteousness. Not giving in to the other things that other people may do or may think is okay, but you being who God wants you to be. Are you being that kind of example for others? I want you to know this morning, as a young person in the church, that your choices matter. What you do today matters, not just because your younger siblings are watching, not just because your parents want you to grow up and be good, godly people, but it matters for you in your life. Proverbs 20 and verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." Even a child is known by his doings. I want you to think about that, kids. What you're doing today, the words that you say, the things that you do, you're known by that. People see that. And people think certain things about you based on those things, based on what you say and what you do. Even a child is known by his doings. And you older people may have heard, you've been in situations where you thought, man, oh, that's their kid. Yeah, little rebel. Or he's, you know, very ornery, you know. And those statements are made because of a perception of that child and that child's behavior. Don't be that kind of kid that people look at and go, ooh, hadn't been a whole lot of parenting there. Be the kid that people look at and go, you know what? That is a good, godly kid. They love the Lord. They love their parents. They're respectful. They open the doors for people. They're kind to people. They shake hands and are friendly to people. That's the kind of kid that you ought to want to be, that you ought to want to be known for. Your choices matter. Did you know in Titus 1 verse 6, part of the qualifications for being an elder is that their children not be accused of riot or unruly? Did you know that? Did you know that that directly applies to you? That's not just an instruction to the parent, to the potential elder. That's an instruction to you. If you as a child are someone that lives wrong, that doesn't do what God wants you to do, that lives in a crazy, selfish, rude, mean way, your dad may not ever be able to be in leadership because people look at you and go, that's a riotous child. That's a child that doesn't behave. And that directly reflects upon the parenting. But I want you to recognize that you have some responsibility here. It's not just on your parents. You have a responsibility to be who you need to be as a child in the kingdom of God. Ultimately, parents, you're responsible. And you need to be training and nurturing. But kids, you have a part to play, and your choices matter. Proverbs 22, verse 6, we already read this, but I'm going to pay attention to the back part of this verse. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Kids, I want you to know this morning. Part of what this can teach you is that what you do now, you will likely be doing for the rest of your life. The kind of character that you develop now, you will likely carry over through the rest of your life. The reason that God is telling parents to train kids in a certain way so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it is because of the reality that the way that we grow up, the way that we are as young people, shapes who we will be for the rest of our life. Now, can we change? Yes. If we're not the right kind of young people, can at some point later in life we realize that and change? Yes. But the general truth here is that who we are as young people will probably carry through to some degree to when we're old. That's why it's important for parents to train kids the way that they should be when they're young. But I want you to know, as a kid this morning, that if you're not who you need to be today, it's going to be harder for you to be who you need to be later. But if you'll focus today and start today to make sure that you are being who God wants you to be, it'll be easier for you to carry that through all through the rest of your life. I want to show you an example of an 8-year-old boy named Josiah. You may have heard this story from the Old Testament. It comes out of 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was in an unfortunate situation in that he was the son of a king who was very evil. He was also the grandson of a king who was very evil. So there was a lot of evil on Josiah's lineage. But Josiah's father died when he was 8 years old, and Josiah became king over Israel. Now, Josiah was different from his father and his grandfather in that Josiah decided that he was going to seek God, and he was going to see what God wanted from him. So we read in the first three verses, it says, Josiah was 8 years old and he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Now, he's 8 years old when he becomes king. What's the 8th year of his reign? Somewhere at the span of 15 to 16 years old. And at 15 and 16 years old, this boy who's been ruling since he's 8, at 15 or 16, he decides, you know what? We're doing this thing wrong. We're not seeking the Lord. We're not seeking God. And at 15, he decides to lead an entire nation of people out of their wickedness and ungodliness and back to God. And what he started doing was systematically removing all of the false idols of worship from the temple and getting rid of all of the pagan practices. And during the process of that, they found a book of law. And Josiah read that book, the old law, the Old Testament. And he reads that and he goes, we're doing all sorts of things wrong. And he gathers the entire people, the entire nation before him. And he has that book of the law read before them. And he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be who God wants us to be. This is a 15-year-old kid who leads a nation back to God. Now, you want to tell me that it doesn't matter what you do as a kid? It matters. At 8 years old, this boy was king. We've got a lot of kids in this crowd that are older than 8 years old. Can you imagine being a king or a queen? Josiah was a king at 8. And at 15, he's leading a nation back to God. Does it matter what you do? 2 Chronicles 34:33 says, Josiah took away all of the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. All of Josiah's days, for his entire reign, that nation served God because of what he did at 8 years old, at 15 years old. Does it matter what you do as a kid? Yeah, it matters. Can you influence people just like Josiah influenced a nation? Yes, you can. You better believe you can. You can be a leader, even at a young age, a leader that brings other people along to want to serve God. That's what I want for you, and that's what God wants for you. So as we kind of wrap up our thoughts this morning, I want to speak to three different groups of kids that we have in the audience. And I want to tell you a few things that I think are important for you to know and for you to remember. To our younger kids, if you're in the crowd this morning and you're 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, somewhere in that range, I want you to pay attention and listen up to this part of it. Who's the boss? This is something when Eli was 4 years old or so, that is really a question that we would ask often with him when he would want to assert his, you know, his opinion or his thought or why he didn't need to do something that we were telling him to do. Who's the boss? What's Ephesians 6 verse 1 say? That'd be the next thing we'd say. Who's the boss? As a kid, a young kid in the crowd this morning, you need to remember that your parents are the boss. You're not the boss. You don't get to decide everything about your life. The day will come when you decide all of those things. But right now, your parents are the boss. You need to listen to what they have to say. Who's the boss? Say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. That's just my way of saying use your manners. Use your manners. Be respectful to people. Say please and thank you. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Whatever those things of those elements of respect are, and your parents may have different opinions as to exactly how they want you to say that, but listen and do that. Be respectful. Use your manners. That goes a long way. And people see that. They notice that. Don't whine or argue. This was something that we absolutely would not tolerate in our house. Whining and arguing. Now, I'm all about having a discussion. Let's talk about it. Now, let's talk about why. Why this is important. And that's important to have. But if you're just going to whine and complain about something, that's not happening. As a kid, a young kid this morning, don't whine when your parents tell you something to do. Just do it. Just obey them. Who's the boss? Be sweet to your parents. Give them a hug. Tell them you love them. Be nice to them. They've been taking care of you for a long time and will be taking care of you for a long time. Be sweet to them. Love them. Share and play well with others. When you're with other kids, make sure you're setting a good example and you're sharing your toys, you're sharing those things that you have, you're playing well, you're being kind, you're making sure to not fight with other kids, you're putting other kids before yourself. Do some of those things as a young person in the church today. And when you come to church, try to pay attention. Instead of sitting there and playing with something or drawing, try to listen. If you're old enough to read and to write, try to take some notes. Listen to what's going on in the service. Look at the PowerPoint and take some notes on what's being talked about. All of those things are just creating good habits that will help you in the future. But if you zone out and you don't pay attention and you don't listen at church now, and you keep doing that as you get older, it's going to become more and more of a problem for you. So listen, pay attention. To the preteens and young teens in the crowd, year 10, 12, 13, somewhere in that range. I want you to listen up. Treat your parents with respect. Now, this is kind of a time in a kid's life, right, where there's a lot of transition happening and changes happening, and there's some assertion and some independence and all that that starts coming out. There's some moodiness that shows up for some reason at this age. As a kid, if you're 10 years old, if you're 12 years old, 11 years old, 13 years old, whatever that is, remember that your parents are taking care of you. They love you. Treat them with respect. Make sure that you're seeing them as weighty, the right kind of weighty. You're seeing them as weighty, that they are a prize to you. Talk with and listen to your parents. Open communication. Kids, seriously, when you have something that you need to talk about, the person you need to go talk to it, with it about is your parent. It's not with the kids at school. It's not with some other person. It's your parents. It's your godly Christian parents. Remember, the assumption is that we have a godly Christian parent or two that we can turn to. If you don't, go to your Christian grandparent. Go to your church elder. Go to some. But if you've got a Christian godly parent, that's who you need to be talking to about stuff. Talk with them and listen to them. Listen to what they have to say. Don't go get all your information from other sources. If you have questions about anything, you ought to be able to go to your parents and ask those questions. And your parents ought to know not to be judgmental or to shut those things down or to not be uncomfortable, so we're not going to talk about it. Christian parents need to be willing to have open communication. And you, as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, need to go ask your parents when you have questions about things. Because your parents are not only going to give you the true answers, but they're also going to give you the answers that God wants for you to know and God's perspective about things. And if you go ask kids at school or somebody else about those important questions that you have, they're not going to be able to tell you what God wants for you. But your parents can. So talk to them and listen to what they have to say. Don't rush to get older. This was a big one for me. Man, I was 12 years old looking at the 16-year-olds who had their driver's license and their cars and all this, and I just pined away to be 16. I wanted to be 16 years old. Don't rush to get older. Enjoy where you're at. Because believe me, you're eventually gonna get older. And it's not as fun as you might think it is at 12 years old. You're gonna blink and you're gonna be 30. That's what I did. I blinked and suddenly I'm here. I wanted to be 16. I'm almost double that 16 now, and I was wanting to be 16 so badly. Don't rush to get older. Enjoy where you're at. Enjoy the life that you have to live now. Enjoy being a kid. Enjoy the freedom that comes with that. Enjoy the security and the protection and the freedom that you have with parents who love you and care about you and are taking care of you. Enjoy it. Don't rush it. Be careful to choose good friends. Make sure that you're hanging around with the right kind of people. This is, once again, a time period where kids go through changes. And if you're hanging around with kids who are turning into the wrong kind of people, then those aren't the people that you need to be hanging with. But if you're hanging with kids who are turning into good, godly Christian people, that's exactly who you need to be hanging with. Be careful to choose good friends. And at this age, you ought to be working your Bible knowledge. You ought to be memorizing scripture. You ought to be learning the Bible. You ought to know the 66 books, even if you have to sing it in sing-song form. You ought to know the 66 books of the Bible. You ought to be learning those things, memorizing scripture. If your parents aren't sitting down and studying with you or reading the Bible with you, go up and ask them and say, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, can you read the Bible with me? Can you study something with me?" This is the age when you need to be putting all of that stuff in here. You remember Paul was talking to Timothy and he says that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. This is the time period. You need to be focusing on that. And finally, to the older teenagers in the crowd, those of you who not long from now are going to be venturing off on your own, making all of these own decisions, take responsibility for yourself now. You know, you're old enough at 16 years old that your mom really shouldn't have to tell you to keep your room clean. Pretty soon you're going to have your own place. What's it going to look like? Is it going to be destroyed all of the time? Are you going to learn some responsibility now? Now's the time. Now's the time to start taking responsibility for yourself, to learn how to do some of those things while you still have parents there, so that when you go out on your own, you know how to take care of stuff, take care of business. You should be taking responsibility for yourself now. If you need something cleaned, you know, maybe you've got a game the next day and you need your jersey washed. You know, if you've known you needed your jersey washed for days, it's not really your mom's fault. If you're old enough to go start a load of laundry, go start a load of laundry. If your mom will let you. If she won't, then ask her to teach you. Laundry can get ruined, I understand that. But take responsibility for yourself. You're old enough to do that. There's no reason that you have to be told to do all those little things you've been doing since you were young. You should be brushing your teeth. You should be doing all those things that you do as a daily routine without being told. Take responsibility. Don't be afraid to go against the crowd. When other people are going a different way, be willing to stand up and be the one that's different. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's honor in that. When you're doing that for the right reasons and standing up for what's right, there is honor in standing up and being different and saying, I'm not going to go with the crowd. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. And you're old enough to make that decision on your own to do that. Don't be afraid to go against the crowd. Choose to submit to your parents. And I emphasize choose because God has instructed you to make the choice to obey your parents. You should not have to be compelled to. You should not have to be forced to. At this age, you should know that that's what God expects of you, and you should willingly be choosing to do it, even when you disagree with their decision. There were plenty of times growing up where I disagreed with what I was told to do. And the reality is, my parents are still my parents. God still wants me to obey. Even if I think I know a different way or a better way or it should be done a different way, what's my responsibility in the sight of God? It's to obey. Can your parents force you and compel you? Yeah, they can. They have the authority. They shouldn't have to. You should have the responsibility, the maturity at this age to say, I'm going to submit to my parents because that's what God has asked me to do. Practice for adulthood now. What do I mean by that? I mean, you're about to have a lot of really big life decisions that are coming up on you that you're going to be making by yourself. Yes, you can get counsel and advice, and you should do all those things. But once you're out of the house and on your own, you're on your own. That's it. You're making those decisions. So at 16 years old, you know what you should be doing? You should be practicing for adulthood. You should be trying to make some of those decisions and going to your parents and saying, look, this is a decision that I'm thinking about making. Maybe that's to go get a job and start earning some money to learn how to be financially responsible. Your parents can talk to you about that if they're comfortable with that. And you go get a job and you start making money. What do you do with that money? When you're an adult, you're going to have to manage that money all by yourself. Now's a good time to learn how to do that when you've got parents who can teach you and help you. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to be responsible with it? When it comes to dating and relationships and all of those sorts of situations, right now you have parents that can counsel you and guide you. Now is the time to practice those decisions and talk with your parents and say, this is kind of where I feel about it, and this is what I think about it. And if they say, well, you may want to consider this, then you need to listen and you need to consider that. But now is the time to practice this because in a couple years, you're on your own. But right now you have security. You have protection. You have your parents there to catch you if you fall. Practice those. Parents, let them practice decision-making. Let them make some decisions. They're about to have to. It does no good to keep them from that. And then at 18, all of a sudden, they have no idea how to make a decision. Work with them and help them to learn how to do that. Young people, be coachable. Be coachable. This is so important. To be willing to modify what you think about something. This is true for all of us. We get sometimes so set in stone on what we think about it that we're not willing to even consider something else. And that's just wrong, and that's just dumb. If we're not willing to consider another perspective, we're going to end up taking a whole lot of wrong paths. You know, the scripture talks about that in Proverbs 14:12. It says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are sometimes ways and things and decisions we get in our mind where we think, I know what I'm doing. I know the right way to go here. In reality, we might not. We might be heading down a path that leads to destruction. And our parents may be sitting there going, I'm seeing what's coming, and you're not listening. Listen, be coachable. Allow people to teach you and to train you. And then I want to encourage you as it relates to the church, be a leader in the church. I don't mean an elder and a deacon. I mean a leader at where you are right now. Don't just come and sit in the pew and sit there and roll your eyes in the back of your head and kind of sing the songs and kind of. That's not what I mean. I mean, you be a leader. You come here and you be engaged and you love it. And you sing and you learn how to lead songs and you get up here and lead. And you ask to learn how to give lessons and you study and you get good study habits. And you train and you get up here and you preach sermons. And you encourage your other friends and the other teenagers in the room to, hey, let's get involved, let's be a part. When there's Bible studies, you go to those Bible studies. When there's fellowship opportunities, when there's evangelistic works, you say, hey, how can I help? That's the kind of leader at 16, at 17, at 18 years old that you ought to be. And you can influence a church like Josiah influenced a nation. You have the ability to do that as young people today. It's not about you having to be 30 or having to be 40 or having to be 50 to do some of those things. You can do that now. Be a leader. Take it seriously. And as we wrap up finally this morning, I'm going to bring it all to this. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Kids, what your parents want is that when another generation goes by, when 20 years from now goes by, they want to see you have children who are good, godly kids. They want to see generations of people after them who love the Lord, who care about the church, who care about being good, godly people. And that's why they're trying to train you and to help you. Help them. Make their job easier. Grow up in Christ and make him the center of your life. And then one day, if that cycle keeps continuing, even though it may seem a long way off from now, one day you'll be a parent. You'll be a grandparent. And you'll look down at the generations that follow you. And you'll be so thankful that you dedicated your life to God. And that you lived for him every day. When you see your kids and your grandkids wake up every day and love God too. Be the kind of people that God wants you to be. Everybody else in the crowd that we've not specifically talked to this morning, be who God wants you to be. Train your kids the way that you need to train them. Be there for your grandkids. Love on them. Encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all on this journey together. Let's help each other make it to the destination of heaven.